Okay, we left off yesterday just barely introducing this new principle that appears both in Agamar and Sukkot and Bava Kama called the combination of Yush plus Shina Rishus. So even if you of the belief that Yush is not kind of by itself, like many great people, such as Rav Yosef, just as probably us hold, but Afa Pichein, we all agree that Yush plus Shina Rishus does the trick. The question is, of course, why? How does that work? So that's, of course, the basic, fundamental, logical question is, how do things that need one of the effective on their own, 0 plus 0, how in the world does that equal 1? So we pointed out yesterday that Tosfos already gives us part of the secret in the Flam and Rebeis and in the Ramban and Mohammed has expressed the same idea that Yush really is a opinion. Yush has its source in Ruchas Aveda, whatever the source there is not clear, but it's some source in Ruchas Aveda. And there really is only one reason why we had difficulty extending it to Gezeila, and that was the principle called Isur Asliyadi, whatever that means. Shava, Issa, whatever the term Isur Asliyadi means in Bava Kama Daf Samach Vav. If we can somehow maneuver around that problem, then Yush will kick in full force. So that's exactly what Tosfos and Ramban say, that when you dump it off on a third person, so then Klape, that third person, he's not limited, he doesn't have that constriction of the Yisuros of the Yodei. So the Mela for him, Yush is going to be Koine. Of course, if that's true, then obviously the Yush is going to have to precede the Shin Rishus. If the order is reversed, then the third person is going to have the same problem with the Yisuros of the Yodei as the original Gazler. So that was one sheet in Rishayim, Taizan Ramban. We said that there clearly has to be another approach in Rishayim, because the Rambam, Paskin's like that opinion in the Gemara at the end of Bava Kama, that the order, in fact, can be reversed. So if you can conceive of a Shini Rishus preceding Yush and still being Koine, it must be based on something else. So what is that phantom something else? The Rambam doesn't tell us. So we're guessing that it's probably a subcategory of Shini Koine, that it's another type of a Shini. And really, you don't even need Yush. The only reason why you do need Yush is because in the absence of Yush, we can't really call it a Shini Rishus. Shini Rishus doesn't just mean you take it from one locale, put in another locale. It means you have to be a halachic Shini, a transferring of something or other, and that somehow can't be created in the absence of Yush. But fundamentally, the Kinyan, unlike the first Sara, Taizan Ramban, that fundamentally the Kinyan is the Yush, and the Shini Rishus is almost secondary. According to the Rambam, it's the other way around. The Shin Rishus is the Igna Kinyan, and the Yush is definitely. So we left off at the end of the Shia yesterday, raising the following question, a very, very lovely question. Whenever we have a Yush and a Shin Rishus, so we know that it's going to be Kona. Who is it going to be Kona for? So it's going to be Kona for the Lokeach, obviously. Is it also going to be Kona for the Gazlan? Now, it's going to be always a moot question, because we're going to declare it's the Gazlan's, but in infinitesimal second later, what are we going to declare? That's the Lokeach. So the Gazel is not going to walk away with it. There's no question the Gazel is not going to walk away with it in Basin. It's going to end up in the Lokeach's hands, Lamaisa, because the Gazel transferred Rishus to the Lokeach. But we want to know, almost in a more conceptual vein, did it belong to the Gazel, almost like Bishas Maisa, like Bishas the Shini Rishus, so it became the Gazel's for a split theoretical second, and then only then it transfers over to the Lokeach. What do I say? That doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing. The Gazlan has no shakas. It's not nicked to the Gazlan, not even in any theoretical sense, not even for any split second of a Herifite. It's not the Gazlan's, never was. The Gazlan's will not be the Gazlan's. So we said at the end of the show yesterday that according to Taizan and Ramban, the answer is obvious. There's no way in the world it could ever belong to the Gazlan, because giving it to the Gazlan, there are three words that stare us in the face. What are those three words? Bisuras al Yodhi. So according to the Taizan and Ramban, it's not negotiable. But according to the Rambam, could be, I'm not saying it has to be, but it could be, according to the Rambam, we could conceive of this idea, this very strange kind of a Kinyan, that it belongs to the Gazlan for a split second, then transfers to the Lekech. Or maybe, no, maybe the whole thing is a figment of our imagination. It just goes straight to the Lekech, never entered into the domain of the Gazlan Kinyan. What led us to this very, very strange presentation? Your basic starting point, you would never say such a thing. If I would have woke you up at 1:26 in the middle of a Shia and asked you, so tell me, you think it belongs to the Gazlan? Who? Well, Gazlan. First of all, you have to pay attention, make sure we're learning. Remember, we're learning Sukkah. So everyone's got to get off their sideshows that they're doing on the computers and come back to life and say, wait, so what did the rabbi just ask me? The rabbi, those are still the sideshows. Don't even know that I just insulted them on the sideshows. Just continue on the sideshows. So why would anybody ever say such a thing? It's almost bizarre. It really boggles the mind to say such a thing that belongs to the Gazlan. Like, Mehevatesu. So what is prompting us? What is leading us? What is walking us down the road to think of this strange phenomenon that maybe can't that it belongs to the Gazlan? So which Gemara is staring us in the face? Kedushin Afnun Beis. So we have to learn this Gemara and Kedushin Afnun Beis together. to understand what's going on. So we try to learn the Gemara Kedushin Daf Nun Beis. Those were with us last year in Maseches Kedushin, but we spent a lot of time learning this Gemara. So comes the Gemara and tells a very, very strange story. Okay, we'll leave out all the, you know, the irrelevant details of the story right now. But then the third of the Mamakim is Hayisadava Kamasha Karabib Shikla Demaya. So this woman, she was washing up a little bit. I don't know exactly what happened. But also Gavad, this guy, comes, Chotav Zuzi Michavi Vishadullah. So he first thing he does is he beats up another guy and he grabs his money from him and he throws it at the woman and he says, I'm a mikachasli. What a beautiful, wonderful way to start off life together. Tackled the third guy, threw it at the woman when she's trying to wash her feet or something, and kachaze, that's the way he gets married to her. So now the shayla became, is the kedushin type to sit out. What's the shayla? So the shayla is the ABCs that everyone ever got married knows. What does the rabbi ask you under the chuppah? What does he ask you?
Is it yours?
Is this ring yours? Is this money yours? So what's the answer? Doesn't sound that way. You just beat up the other guy and took it away from him. So what was the shayla? Why did they come to Hak Rava for? So they came to Rava, and Rava responded, don't worry about it. She's not Mekadeshes. Why? Amar, leis techash lohad Rabbi Shimon. Yomastam gzeli yishpailim havei. Nobody ever today is cheshesh Rabbi Shimon shita. Hele getan of Shimon Yochai had a very unique shita, which we actually spoke about back in the sugya of, when did we talk about this? When did we talk about Rabbi Shimon Yochai, about Stam Gzeli Yishbailim? Who remembers? What was the case? What was the scenario of Stam Gzeli Yishbailim? Who remembers? The Oros, right? That was the Oros, Ula, right? Ula and Kufyadal and Babakama. Orosh of Balabais, Orosh of Gazal, Orosh of Gadav, etc. So comes Rabbi Shimon in Babakama, Kufyadal from a Mishnah in Kalim, Perichavav, the 26th parakh of Kalim. That means the guy made it through 25 parakh of Kalim, we got to the 26th parakh and Kuf Rabbi Shimon. See, Revel until 26th parakh, and then the last four also. So comes Rabbi Shimon and says, Stam Gazeli Yishbalim. Why is that? What's the rationale for that? The guy realizes, I'm 5'2". This guy of a 6'8". This linebacker tackled me, beat me up, and took my thing away. I think I'm never going to get it back from him. Never in a million years. I'm automatically Mishyash. It's automatically Yish. So comes Rava and has to pass him to Shaila. Someone was Mekadesh Begazel. This big shlub of a guy beats up this little wimpy guy. And he takes this money and he throws it to the woman and says, Kodeshesli. So Rava, the doc, according to Mishimi, what would the din be? According to Bishimon, who says Tam Gzil Yishbailim, him, Pashas, what didn't be? Shibadeshes. The Rabbi said, don't worry about it, we don't follow Bishimon. Lace the Chashle with Bishimon. So Baruch Hashem, she doesn't need a get. All's well that ends well, she doesn't need a get. But come to Rishonim and jump on Rabbi and say, wait a second, what do you see from Rabbi's formulation? The only reason why Rabbi was Mekil was because Lace the Chashle with Bishimon. But Imtim Tzaleimar, that somebody would have been Chashle with Bishimon, Imtim Tzaleimar Bishimon would have been right, and this woman would have what? Would have required a get. She would have been Kadeshes. That's the clear inference from the sugya. There's no question, you can't read the Gemara any other way. Rabbi should have said that Kadesh Begazel and finished. No, Rabbi said, Leis the Chashle Rishimin. Clearly implying that Imtim Tzalemer, Yush would have, Imtim Tzalemer, we could have known for a fact that Yush really did happen, or we would have held it with Rishimin, Stam Gzeel Yush Bailamim, the woman would have been Kadeshes. Frech the Rishon Makasha, why doesn't everybody know that Yush is in a Kaina? Now again, one could easily hide behind who? Who could we easily hide behind? With Rava. We could say Rava. What's an alpha? What's a hey? You know, two different people, but maybe Rava held like Rava. It's not crazy. Rava was the generation before Rava, so it's not crazy that he held like Rava. But the Rishonim somehow shy away from that. Most of the Rishonim don't like to go down that route because it doesn't sound like that's the stomach of the Gemara. And I'll tell you why. Most of the Rishonim, Paskin, and Baba Kama like Rav Yosef. The flow of the Gemara Bava Kama seems to be like Rav Yosef. So we generally paskin, Rubid Rishon pass like Rav Yosef. Now you have a Stam Gemara in Kedushin and Beis and Beis that the Gemara just tells the story, and the later Amaroim, Ravina, Rav Asher, when they'll be Masada of the Gemara, they don't even comment on the story. They should have said something like the Ula Didon, the Kaimalon, Yush, like, oh, they did it. So it almost makes it sound like the statement of Rav is really independent of the Machlekes Rav and Rav Yosef. That's the Pashas and the Rishonim. That's what the Ramban says, and the Rashba says, and the Ritva says, and the Ran. All the Chachmei Svarah, Temole, have this approach to the Sugya, that Rabbah's statement is true even in the worldview of Rav Yosef. So now the Rishonim is scrambling and trying to figure out if that's true, well, what's it based on? So how is Shiva Kodeshes? How does Yush do the trick? Now again, Lamaisa, there was no year. So Lamaisa, the woman doesn't need a get. So Lamaisa, this particular case, the woman's home free. But it's the implication of the Gemara that's problematic. How is the woman Kudeshias just based on Yush alone? So comes the Ramban and starts the Bora, and the Ramban goes, Rosh to the all this Tamidim of the Rashba, the Round Ritva, that whole line, dynasty of Rishonim, all emanating from the Bismarish of the Ramban. The Ramban says the answer is that there was something else here that accompanied the Yush. And what was it? What was it accompanied the Yush? Shini Rishos. So the Ramban's the one connected to that. The Ramban took, Ramban learned three Gemaras, not all Gemaras, but learned three Gemaras. He's learning Kedushin and Beis, and he's looking at Kedushin and Beis through the eyes of Sukkah Laman and Beis, and through the eyes of Bava Kamma. Beginning of the 10th Bech Bava Kamma, the Gemara developed the principles of Yush and Shini Rishos. So the Ramban said it's that principle of Yush and Shini Rishos that is ultimately responsible for the Kedushin being touched. So now that we've taken Yush and Shini Rishos, and we've used it as a method for Kedushin, now we have our work cut out for us. Why? Because Lechora, I say Lechora because I may back out from this, I reserve the right to back out. What was that question again that the Chassid has asked on the Lechora? Who remembers? What are the married guys in Shia? What did the rabbi ask you? I know you guys are probably in a fog when you get married. What do you remember? What do you remember from that wonderful day in your life? The rabbi asked you? What did he ask you? I asked you, where's the ring? I never understood why it takes 10 minutes for me to ask that question till, oh wait, I don't have to. The cousin has to be there. Why doesn't the cousin hold on to the ring anymore? I never understood. Okay, so he asks him, does this ring belong to you? Isn't that the critical question to ask? Why do we ask that question? Because you're about to do a kinyan kesef. Isn't it obvious, in order to be an effective kinyan kesef, the lekeach has to give his kesef to the Moicha? How can I give somebody else's kesef? Isn't that the ABCs of a kid in kesef? When Avraham Avinu says to Efer, kesef asod the kachi bedi, he wasn't taking Yenim's kesef. He didn't take somebody else's, his own kesef. Isn't it obvious? So wait, now we have a problem. According to the Ramban's reading of the Gemara in Kedushin and Beis, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, and all the Gedolei Rishonim are learning that Yush and Shini Rishos is an effective way of creating Kedushin. Is that not tantamount to saying that the Gazlan must at some point have acquired this ring? Because if the Gazlan didn't acquire the ring, then how could that possibly be an effective Kedushin? So aren't all the Rishonim who are learning Pshat Gemara, which seems to be the only way, we don't know any alternate Pshat Gemara, aren't all these Rishonim in a sense implying what we thought that was bizarre is actually true? That in Hachinami, that the Gazlan / Chosan was kind of, for how long? Once I owed her one split, minuscule part of a second, but that's all we need. He owned the ring, and then in the process of owning the ring, he also transferred it to her. Yush and Shini Rishos kick in, and Shalom Yisrael, Mazel Tov, they're married. Now again, Lahalacha, they weren't married in Duffin Bays because there was no Yush. But if there would have been Yush, then they would have been married. So the Pashas Advarim is that that's what's going on in the Gemara. That the Gazlan / Chosan was kind of the ring for a split second. Is there any way out of that, Gemara? That's a big problem. If that's true, that's going to spell a big, big problem for who's that going to spell the most humongous problem for? For Tosfos the Ramban himself is going to spell a problem. Because according to Tosfos the Ramban, that's impossible. According to Tosfos the Ramban and the Muhammad, that is impossible statement that the guys don't own anything because of the ikuv of, once again, the surahs of the other. So maybe the Shtikotar that we're saying is right according to the Ramban, maybe. Maybe in a long shot, it's right according to the Rambam, but it's definitely wrong according to Tosfos the Ramban. So there must be something else going on in this Gemara. There must be some other way for this condition to be Tosfos, not through the vehicle that we just said. Now again, I'm not changing the Yush and Shini Rishos model yet, as of yet. Maybe I'll do that at some later point, but I'm still sticking to Ramban's basic model, but I'm going to revamp one of these lines. Instead of Gaza and Chosin bin Kaina, I'm going to go down another one. What's the other one I'm going to go down? What's the other room going to go down? Well, you're saying it too lumpish. Say it before. Most of the guys here weren't with us last year in Kedushin. So just say it simply.
It doesn't have to belong to Gazlan. It just has to go to the
wind. Okay. So, Lechori, there's another option. The other option is, who says that the ring ever has to belong to the Chosin? The rabbi under the chuppah misled you. He threw you off. In your moment of truth, he asked you an irrelevant question. What he should have asked was, is this ring going to result in becoming the girl's property? That's the question. That's what he really should have asked. It doesn't really matter to the person who owns the ring. As long as, when this whole ceremony is over, the girl has acquired the ring. Now, if the girl doesn't acquire a ring, that's not getting kesef, that's done. That's nothing. But im comes the leimer that the husband, the chassid, could figure out a way to facilitate the transfer of ownership to the kala of this ring, even though the chassid never really owned it. How is he going to do that? That's a whole other story. Generally speaking, I can't transfer ownership of things that I don't own in the first place, unless we can come some really fancy schmancy halachic, you know, loophole to figure out how to do that. But if I can come up with a creative solution, creative model how to do that, then that would suffice for kiddushin, because maybe that's what you ever need. Maybe there is no din that the chassid has to give the ring. Maybe it's enough that the kala receives the ring. So again, we know for a fact Yishin Shin Rishus works for Kiddush. That's the Gemara in Beis. We have no other way out of that Gemara. We know that according to Tais and Rabban, it cannot go through the way of a Gazan Chosin being credit. That's impossible. Shos Yadei, but Bakama Samach Vav prevents that from happening. So the only other thing that's left is something very, very strange, very, very bizarre, to say that, well, as long as the Kala is Kona the ring, it doesn't really matter whether the Chosin owned it altogether. Which Rishon goes down that route pretty much explicitly? Who saw in the Mamakimus? Which Rishon really says that? The Ran pretty much says it. The Ran says it in the fifth of the Mamakimus. The end of the second line. V'yafa gavlo koni gazlin v'yush. The yush kedilo koni. The Ran asked the question, how in the world could Rabbi say that Stam Yush is Stam Gzeel Lav Yish Bam, therefore should not be Mekudeshes, even if it would be Stam Gzeel Yish Bam, she would still not be Mekudeshes. Listen to how the Ran formulates it. Kevan Shehi Kona Al Yadoi. Since she is Kona the ring, through him, because of him, on account of him, the Havala Yush Bi Yadoi Didei, because Yush took place when it was in his hand, so the Ran, in answering the question, how is she Mekudeshes, the Ran did not say any shape or form about him owning that ring. If anything, he said the opposite. He says, he didn't say he was Koine. He said she was Koine because of him. So it sounds pretty much that the Ran is trying to express this idea that all you really need is the Isha to be Kona. And again, according to what we're saying, other Rishonim have to buy into this. Tosfos must buy into this, the Ramban must buy into this. There's no other way to explain this phenomenon of what's going on. Do we have any other input from other Rishonim? Do we have other Rishonim who are taking a stand on this? The Ramban was a little bit vague. There's a Ritva I put in the Ramakobos that could go either way depending on how you read the Girsas and the words, a couple of nuances of a difficult Ritva. Do we have any other Rishonim who take a clear stand on this issue, whether the method of Kedushin here is Gazlan Chosin being Koine, or you can kind of ignore the Gazlan Chosin being Koine, just go down the route of Isha Kona, which is really a twofold fundamental question. It's a fundamental question about Yush and Shidu Rishus, because it's related ultimately to the Ramban and Rambam, and it also opens up for us a very, very fundamental question about what? About Kedushin, or about Kinyan Kesef in general, about what is the ABCs of Kinyan Kesef / Kedushin? Is it really the Kabbalah Sa'isha, or is it really the Nesina Sabal? Maybe both. So this is a loaded question. It's all revolving around in Beis. And we have to have a curse that type to that guy in Daphne and Beis. If that guy wouldn't have beaten up that other guy, we would never know. Like Ben Drusoyev. Not for Ben Drusoyev, we wouldn't know anything about Hilchos Shabbos, Bishlan Shabbos. So even the Rishonim have a place in the world. They give us, they also add a little bit to the earth. So do we have any other Rishonim weighing in on this topic? So we have a Rashba. We actually have multiple Rashbas on this topic. The only problem is they don't seem to be saying the same thing. So the Rashba on Daf Nun Vav is addressing the following topic. It's a very, very famous sugya. No one was around when we learned Kedushin last time around. Not a minute year ago, right? Way before your time. It's about, about 12 years ago, so, or something like that. Maybe more than 12 years ago. So that year we learned Kedushin, so we learned the second prayer of Kedushin, not the first prayer. Last year we learned the first prayer, right? Okay, good. So then we learned the second prayer of Kedushin. So we learned the first three, four blot, Then we skipped a little bit to Daf Mem Zayim Mem Ches, and then we skipped to Daf Nun Vav to the sugyas of Mekadesh Bisuri Hanor. So in the sugyas of Mekadesh Bisuri Hanor is a famous mission Daf Nun Vav in Kedushin. The verse is Mekadesh Nishu Davar Asma Not Ein Mekudeshes. Right? Mekadesh Bishua Nisko, Mekadesh Beorla, Mekili Akerem, the Chamor, Yoni Dachas, right? The works Ein Mekudeshes. Comes the Mishnah and says, but Machron Vekidesh B'dmehen. What if a person takes his orla and he sells the orla? Now, he wasn't supposed to do that. Selling orla is a violation min haTorah of the nen emisuri hanah. Selling is also an act of hanah. I'm getting something in return for it. So I really wasn't supposed to do that. But b'di'eved, if I sell orla, if I sell bas b'chol, if I sell petach hamor, those kinds of things, so b'di'eved, what's the din? That the money that I get in return is mutav hanah. It's emisuri hanah, not toifes demehen. A few exceptions to that rule. What are some of the basic exceptions to that rule? What kind of things are atopis demehen? Avodah Zarah, Perishvias. There are a couple of things here and there that are tough as the man, but mostly Surah are not. So the Mishnah basically says that I went ahead and I sold my apples of Orla, got a dollar for it, and stand on the chuppah and hand the woman a dollar, her hands in Mekudeshes. Come to Rashba with a bomb kasha. There happens to be a unique sheet of Rashi, which many Mishnah disagree with. That must be a unique sheet of Rashi that appears in Chul and Avdalim Beis. Rashi says that b'medivar mamurim that domim of Isuri Hanah are mutav Hanah. That's legabi acherim. It means if that dollar ends up in somebody else's pocket, so the person's allowed to use it. If my apples of oil itself end up in your own backyard, you can't eat them, you can't use them, you can't do anything with them. Mutav Hanah. But if the dollar that I got as tashlumin, as payment for my apples of orla, end up in your pocket, that's perfectly okay. But for me, myself, I'm the machlif. I'm the one who owned the orla. If I go ahead and I want to use the dollar that I got, that's takal osur. That is a violation of Isuri Hanah. So that cloud that dmei Isuri Hanah are mutter, it's not an absolute Rashi. Again, what prompted Rashi to say that was a long story. Another Bisham weren't so bothered with the Kash, and most Bisham disagreed with Rashi. But Rashi has a Shita. That the Dhamma themselves are, in fact, also to the Machmir. Probably on a Midrabonim, that's true. But Alpha Bichain, it's still also. So, Nu, what's the Kasha now? According to Rashi, who's going to formulate the Kasha? Well, I don't know exactly our case, but let's formulate the kasha first, and we'll see how it's going to play out. Actually, what's the kasha? If you're just learning kedushin and vav, you're not even learning esek, you know. You're learning kedushin and vav. Here you have, this is what we have in front of us. Okay, we have a chasson, we have a kala, okay, and we have a dollar bill. Okay, so we have here a picture of George Washington. Okay, shaitel, right? Okay. Oh. Okay, where did this dollar bill come from? It came from before the guy sold his apple, which was orla, right, for this dollar bill. Okay, so this is the Mei Yisuri Hanah. So he's handing over this money to her, and the Mishnah of the Farish Machron Bekish with Vamarez of Kodeshes. Rek the Rashba, according to Rashi, true, it's Mutav Hanah Klape the what? Klape the woman. But it's also not klapei the man. And therefore, the woman received kesef kedushin, but the man didn't give kesef kedushin. Does that bother me? Does it not bother me? You know what the Rashba says? This is what state in Rashba. Rashba says, Udmei orla, in the third line, the Rashba in the bottom, 6th Mamet Kemis, Kedushin and Vavim Beis, the third line of Dmei Orla Na'am Bi'adam Moichek Orla Domu. U'mekadosh B'dem Kudeshes Mishum D'lega B'dido Shoru D'lav Dmei Orla Him B'yod. Because that Issa, whatever that Issa is, that Issa was only Klapei the Machlef himself, not Klapei others. V'kevan D'muteres Lehonos Mehen, since it's permissible for her to derive benefit from this, from the dollar bill. V'kanosan Hi Machmasoi, and she acquired the dollar bill on his behalf because of him, Avi Mekudeshes Lai. She's Mekudeshes to him. So the Rashba is clearly accepting this phenomena Like the Ron said, all you need is an isha to be koina. You don't really need the chasen to have ever owned the money. So if the Rashba would have stopped right then and there, we would have jumped for joy. We would have been so excited. You know why? Because Baruch Hashem, we would have said, we discovered the Rashba's taking a stand in the Masechet Kedushin, and now we can use our power of extrapolating from the Rashba and saying that just as the Rashba said it vis-a-vis Yisurina, that all we care about is that it belongs to the girl, not the boy. So we could say, Hu Adunami, in our case, that maybe that's what's going on in our sugi as well. So we would have really knocked the heads against the wall to compare the two cases. But guess what? Rashba did us a toiva. You know what he did for us? He explained it himself. He says, Halama David Daimah. The Rashba says, let me give you a marshal. How do I know? We state this idea that it's enough that something belongs to the colleague or the chassid never got it. L'makadesh begezel de'acherim. L'mandiyas le'istam gezel yush ba'alim. Again, we don't paskin that way. We paskin stam gezel yav yush ba'alim. But Allah tzad it would have been the alpha gav yush kedi lo kani. Who's he quoting right out of? Whose handbook is he quoting right out of? Quoting from the Ramban. Even though yush itself is not kani. Because man shehu biyadoi. Listen to this, guys. Because man shehu biyadoi ain't no kani loy. He does not own it. Afilu hachi. Once you give us the tahar, she's mikudeshes. Lefisha kan asahi b'nesin asai, because she acquires it based on his giving, even though he never owned it. Tahavale biyadah vis-a-vis har, it's yush v'shin rishus. So just as we have that model based on condition and base, v'achanam yare kan asahi b'nesin asai, v'hano abo lo mechmasahi. At Kan Divir Rashba. What do you think? I think it's clear as day that the Rashba is accepting this model of being koina. What? Without the chosen having to have any shape or form of ownership on the item. The Rashba is clear as day. He's using our Gemara of Yishin Shinushas as the model to prove this point. And then he simply plugs it in to the Sugya of Rashi of Mekadosh B'dmei Yisur Hanno. I don't think there's any question whatsoever with the Rashba just said. Rabbi saying, there's another Rashba. That's the Rashba in the 7th of Ramah Kermis. It's a one line in the middle of a long, long Rashba in Gita Nafnan Hey. The Rashba is addressing the following. It's in that sugi about Ula, about Chatas HaGzula, etc. The Gemara says, Beferish, Mamash Beferish, that if I steal something from you, and you're Misyayish from it, and I'm Makdish it, that the Hekdish is not. There's no question whatsoever, that is the din. I stole something from you. The Misyayish, a Makdish Hekdish. But Jabamba Bakama says, how does that work? If you hold, let's work it through, Rabbi Say. How does that work? You're Misyayish from it. A Makdish it. Hekdish is Chal. Let's think it through. If you hold like Rabba, explain to me. Let's work it through together. If you hold like Rabba, that you should coin this. Of course it's Chal. It's the Shaila. It's mine. I can be Makdish what I own. But if you hold like Rabbi Yosef, how does that work? How does that work? So what does the Gemara say? Anyone know? Not what the Rishonim said. What did the Gemara say? So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, I don't know if I put that particular line in the Mamre Kamma this time around, it's probably been on there along the way. Bava Kamma says, the Hekdesh is Chal because of a combination of factors. Yush plus Shinoi, what did it say? Hashem. The reason why it's Chal is because it used to be called Chulin, now it's called Hekdesh. That qualifies as a Shini Hashem, even though no physical change has happened. And Yush and Shini Hashem is a Kinyan. Now, that's a loaded statement, because hopefully we'll talk about that in the next Sugya. Is that really true? For Shini Hashem, you need a Yush to accompany it? That doesn't sound like it's correct. So we got work to do on that, but not for now. Take the Gemara at face value. The Gemara says the reason why the Hekdesh for Chal was a combination of Yush plus Shini Hashem. If that's the case, that's not our topic. But the Rashba, as other Rishonim say, that the answer that the Gemara gave of Yish Blashin Yashem was one answer, but the Gemara could have just as easily given another answer. Why the Gemara didn't is going to become a topic later on, but not for this moment yet. But the Rashba, in passing in Gittin, had in front of his eyes the Gemara Bava Kamma. The Rashba knew ganz good, he knew full well that the Gemara said Yish and Shini Hashem, and he still sticks in another option that he and the Baalei Tosfos like as also a valid way of explaining how this hektish phenomena. There's a brayse that says hektish is chal. The Gemara is the Farish, there's a Farish brayse that says gozol v'siyayishu abaylem v'hektish areze hektish. So how does it work according to Rabbi Yosef? So the Gemara gave one option, and the Rishonim say on another option on their own. So look at the Rashba in the Sefer Memukins. V'ikasha lo, how could it work? Iyush kedilo konich imatzim hektish lei. Yishloim ha'kevin d'shinui Hashem. Inam ishini rishus. Either one would work. Konu hekdesho ukniyasa boinkiyachod. Look at the Rashba. We're not going to go down the Gemara's answer. We'll go down the Rashba's answer. That it's a combination of Yush and Shini Rishus. This is, we know this combination. We know this equation already. Shini plus Shini Rishus, plus Yush plus Shini Rishus, is responsible for Hekdesh being Chal. Anyone have any problems with that? Anyone have issues with that? No, everyone's good with that? Makdish never owned it. Isn't that the ABCs of Hakdasha? Ish ki yakdish is basa kodesh l'Hashem. The Gemara says, a basa shaloi of kol shaloi. How in the world can you be makdish something you don't know? You want to tell me somebody can be makdish in Isha with some kind of a stunt that she got the money, I didn't have the money, it somehow works, how that works, sister, Torah, I have no idea. But you want to tell me that works for hektish? I don't really have to own something to be makdish it. That's mamish ridiculous. I can't think of any other words to describe. Mamish, absurd, ridiculous. So the Rashba says, Officer, I just told you a minute ago that Yush and Shini Rishus is what's responsible for this hektish being kal. Now, off the record, are we going to lose too much sleep over this kasha? Why are we personally not going to lose too much sleep over this kasha? Because nobody ever said that Yush and Shini Rishus is what makes it hektish. Who said it? The Rashba made it up. Tosfos made it up. No one ever said it. So the Rashba, according to his understanding, he had some kind of a raya from the Gemara that we haven't even got to yet. He had some kind of a raya from the Gemara that Yush and Rishus would also be a good model to explain the phenomenon of Hekdesh. According to this world that the Rashba just created, he frecked the kasha of this din, how could it be? It doesn't belong to the Makdish. And for the Rashba, it does belong to the Makdish. And the Rashba used the magic words that we didn't want to use, Hekdesh Kniyasa Ben Kiyachod. That at the split second that he's makdish it, he owns it for that split second, and then so it becomes hektish. Where did we ever find such an idea? Well, that's exactly the way the non-Ran people describe Kedushin. Remember? The problem was that the Rashba was on the team of those Rishonim who didn't describe Kedushin that way. The Rashba was on the team of Rishonim who said that that's not what happens in Kedushin. What happens in Kedushin is Taka the Chosin did not own it. The Afa Pichain, the Kedushin is Tavsin. And then the Rashba used that to extrapolate to his case when it's also by Noah to the Chosin, not to the Kala. So the Rashba in Kedushin, Dafnun Vav, went down one model of this halacha. He understood the Yush and Shini Rishus is working that you don't need the Gazan to ever acquire it, it's not a necessary prerequisite. And yet the same Heilige Rashba was turning around in Gittin Daf Hey and saying, the only way under the sun to explain this model of Hektesh Kal, which I personally made up, Dr. Rashba, is only if you invoke the model of Yush and Shini Rishus working as being that the Gazan does own it for a split second. So by Rabbi Sai, I don't know the answer. These are two different pieces in the Rashba. I don't know about which the Rashba, how many years transpired between the Rashba's Chedushim and Gittin when he wrote his Chedushim on Kedusha. I don't know. But Lefiri is that. This is not my observation. Already, Chorin pointed this out. These two Rashbas are saying two different things. They're giving two totally different paths of understanding the same halacha, but they're different. They're legamri different. Everyone knows that everyone saw both Rashbas? Who here saw both Rashbas? Everyone realized that two Rashbas are so to each other? No, everyone understands now. Who here understands now? Two Rashbas says to each other. Baruch Hashem, so it's accomplished. Worth it to come to Shia just to see the Steven Rashbas. So again, who would have ever thought? How many Gemaras we have? This is getting a lot of Gemaras getting thrown to the shult over here. I like this picture, but we gotta get rid of it. Should draw some of these pictures. Even at weddings. My kids told me they were at a chasana last night, two nights ago, and it was in the same place that there was another wedding the night before, which I happened to have been at, the other wedding, and they told me that under the chair, they picked up, like, there was a thing under the chair, and it was the playbill, you know, from the walking down of the night before's wedding. So you have to be careful when you sit down to chuppah, you have to make sure you're following, otherwise you're seeing the wrong cast of characters. You have to make sure that people have consistently given in the wrong coat checks and the wrong place cards to sit down at the wrong table. They realize at the wrong hall. Anyway, so we should start making some of these. We put up a little booklet while you're connected. We got nice, colorful, illustrated pictures of wild weddings. Yeah.
Can I just maybe over here the level of like rishus over an object you need. Is different from when it comes to hekdesh. When it comes to kiddushin, maybe when it comes to hekdesh, you don't need to actually have a kinyan object.
You don't need a kinyan object in order to be makdesh
in your hand or something. But like daily, you actually need an actual kinyan. And so what he says is that hekdesh of a kinyan subhanu ke'echa doesn't mean that he has a kinyan object. It means that it's in his hand in order to be makdesh. Maybe because there's different levels of kinyan you need for
hekdesh ki hekdesh is beisa and my beisa shalom you have kol shalom.
The
Gemara says you have to own it. You have to own it. If you do makta, you have to own it. You can't be makta anymore. Okay, so basically, get to how many of you are flying around here? So we have Gemaras that have taught us about Yishin Shinu Rishus. We have Sukkah, Amnu Beis, and Baba Kama. Where's the beginning of the 10th Perek? Where's that spot? Give or take? Can I guess? I don't know, Kufi Beis or so? Give or take? Something like that. Okay. We'll be like the Rishon before. It was easier when you were Rishon before they printed the before anyone knew what document existed because the Goyim hadn't decided to get the pages. So you could just write Kedeisav Hagozel Basra, and then you have to go check the 10 block there. So that's what the Rishonim write. Hagozel Basra. Okay, give me the last track of okay. So that's one Gemara. Then what other Gemaras do we have that are addressing the issue of Yishin Shinu Rishus? Gemara in Kedushin. Daf Nun Beis, which is the Ramban, the Rashba, Ran, Ritva, all read into that Gemara, must be also assuming as a principle of Yishin Shinu Rishus. Then we have questions of how does it work? So we said the Rashba's extrapolation on Kedushin, Daf Nun Vav and Beis, Tei Suri Hano, so he had one take on it. Then we have a Gemara in Bava Kama, on Daf, I think it's some Ches, we're not mistaken, which the Rashba in Gittin is making reference to, where you can be makdish something based on a Yush and a Shinu Rishus, supposedly. So that seems to be taking a different angle, a different approach. So we know that din is true. We know there's Yush and Shinu Rishus, and we're pretty confident, pretty comfortable saying that it applies for Kedushin. But we're not quite sure, does it go down the root of Rashba, Kedushin, and Vav and Beis, that you don't need the ownership of the Baal, or does it go down this root? But I say, this is not just a Bavakama issue. Not just the Yishin Rishus Gzeil issue, this is touching on some of the ABCs of Maseches Kedushin. Because those Rishonim, including the Rashba in one place, including the Ran, the Feirish, who are willing to go out on a limb and say that it's enough for the girl to get it without the boy giving anything, we have to understand that. Is that true? Are there rayas for that? Are there rayas against it? The reason why the Rashba gave an alternate pshat is because maybe he didn't buy into that in Maseches Gittin. So let's think a little bit. Let's put a little bit of a little tour through some sugyas to try to see. Those who were with us last year in Kedushin, hopefully we'll appreciate the Chazara, those new guys, hopefully we'll appreciate it for the first time. So this whole discussion always starts with what? Where does this discussion always start with? It starts with the Radvaz. I put the Radvaz in my Mekamis? I put it last year. Okay. So who's got the case of Radvaz? Because this is the Super Bowl Radvaz. Why Super Bowl Radvaz? Because the Chassid's going back. It's going to be a long pass. Okay? You're talking, it's a It's a 90-yard one, okay? Again, I would say what they usually call it, but it's not so posh you're allowed to say that phrase, okay? So it's something to do with some of the Hebrew name was Miriam. Okay, fine. So person goes back. He's ready to throw it up. He got 3 seconds left in the game. It's make it or break it. He tosses. That's football, right? But instead of tossing the football, he tosses a ring. And all right, he tosses the football. And the wide receiver happens to be very, very modern, up-to-date game. It's a woman wide receiver, okay? He's 6'8". She's 6'8". Okay? Kids are going to be 6'8". Okay. So he tosses this football, all right? And, you know, in the olden days, you had to scream really loud. Now, it's very easy. What does he do? He doesn't even just talks into his little thing, doesn't it? The quarterback always has, he's got his thing in his head, right? Only my kids were having a shot. Is only the quarterback has a thing in his head, or everyone has it? Anyone know? Only the quarterback. Only the quarterback? Okay. What? Yeah, it's Rashtaita, although he's talking to himself, right? He's not there because he needs to say Pilamon. Some do. Okay. So, but in this case, in the modern game, the wide receiver also has, all right? So he's got like this. Here's the four people here. So he tosses this football. She's down there. And he talks in. He says, Rebbe Kudeshus, wait a second. And the tight end and the fullback also, they all got the Adib, right? So everyone's watching, all right? Everyone's listening and everything. And he says, Rebbe Kudeshus. Now that football, a little schwach, that football. It's been through a lot of games. Falling apart. If you try to sell this football on Amazon, you'd get a half a pruta for it. Okay? So it's not worth all that much. But you won't believe it. As the football goes up in the air, so this may be the clincher. This may be what's going to win the Super Bowl. So all of a sudden, if you try to sell that football right now, as it's soaring over midfield, it would now sell for more than a pruta. And by the time it lands, a perfect catch, and scores a touchdown, we have only one Shiloh. What's the Shiloh? Ishim Kudeshim. And that was the Shiloh of the Radvaz. Now again, the Radvaz left out the football marshal. Radvaz's marshal is as fascinating as that marshal. He says, back in the 1500s in Egypt, he tosses a ring, and when the ring leaves his hand, it's worth less than a pruta. And lo and behold, the price of, you know, the stock market is very volatile these days, so the price of gold goes soaring high. And now it's worth a pruta right before it lands in our hand. And he said, I read Kudeshus to aid them, the works. So what happens? Kudeshus and not. So the Radvaz uses this absurd scenario to highlight a very fundamental lumbish shaila. Like the Gemara does this all the time. The Gemara will talk about these bizarre cases. Since writes, there are sometimes the Gemara will give you cases that lo hayu, lo yir, they're crazy, they're wild, they're nuts. Why? Because they're just there because they can explain to you very concretized, a very abstract principle. You know, principles that are very abstract, so it's hard to grapple with. So sometimes Chazal will put this concrete scenario around it just to be able to establish it a little bit, to be able for us to relate to. That way when I hear the Shaila, so I think of the guy throwing the ring. So Tosis gives a few examples. Tosis, one example is, says Chazal speak about you take a bad guy, put him into a box, and toss him, everyone's throwing things. Throwing things somewhere other than the crazy cases. You toss him over a cemetery. So you want to know, is the guy Makabal Tumah, not Makabal Tumah. So it's a very lumdish Shaila. Tosis, who's going to take a guy, stick him in a box, and throw away? What kind of a sugar is going to do such a thing? How can you even do such a thing? Baruch Hashem, come along in 1903, Kitty Hawk, Wright brothers, they came up. What did they do? We all do this. We get it thrown all the time. We sit ourselves in. I always say it's the most mind-boggling thing. If you think about it, what you're basically doing is you're getting yourself into an oversized can of tuna fish. That's what it's a big thing of aluminum. You're putting yourself into a can of tuna fish, and somebody is tossing it 6,000 miles, 30,000 miles up in the air, and you're hoping and praying that it lands in the right place. That's pretty much what you're doing. So it's an amazing concept. If you want to know what some people say Bechse Goyma when you come off a plane. And every once in a while, it ends up in Canada for a few hours. Okay, so what I'm saying. So to over here, the Radvaz gave this Meshugana case, but it highlights a basic principle, says the Radvaz. What's the din? For Kesef Kedushin to be effective, must he give or must she get? So what the Radvaz is describing in his bizarre Super Bowl scenario is our Shaila, is our Rashba, is our Steven Rashba, is our Rad. Which ultimately all hinges upon what? Whether Yush and Shidur Rishus is based on Tosfos in the Ramban's version or the Rambam's version? Because according to Tosfos in the Ramban, there's no way for the Chosin to own it. It's impossible. So the other prevents that. So according to Tosfos in the Ramban, and according to one Rashba, at least the Rashba in Kedushin, it is muchach to say that all you need is Kabbalah Sakali, you don't need Nesiris HaChosin. It is only according to the other Rashba, and according to the Rambam's different way of understanding Yishin Shin Rishos, that we can possibly insist that the Chosin really truly has to own it. So that's the way the Radvaz presents the Shaila. And he says, I'm going to bring you Raya's. He says, let me give you a Raya. And he begins with the following Raya. Somebody said it, right? You said it before. Ever Kedani. Comes up in the Gemara Kedush of Zayim and Al. So those with Nishal last year, this is how we came to this sugya last year. Through here we're going from a different direction. Here we're going from the Baba Kama angle, and last year we went from the Ever Kedani angle. But it ends up in the same place. Gemara is the Gemara Kedush and the Zayim and Al from the Sefer Kedush. The Gemara entertains the possibility of Kedushin taking place without the Chosin actually giving the money. Somebody else gave the money. And according to many Rishonim, that somebody else was not even the what? Was not even the what? Wasn't even necessarily the Shliach to do so. That's a tricky Rashi. And Ritva, those remember back from last year. But it's Nitanle Amer that Yenim, some Pliny gave the money, and all of a sudden I can get a wife. I didn't lay out a penny. I had $100 in my bank account, and I still have $100 in my bank account, and now I have $100 plus a wife. How did it happen? So Gemara says, well, this is not the first time it happened. I have another model, the Gemara says, of somebody acquiring something without laying out a penny. It's a Kenyan Kesef, and nobody, the Kainah didn't shell out a penny. What's the case? Shichur Eved Kenayni. One of the methods of Shichur Eved Kenayni is through Kesef. How do I know that? What's the Mokko? How do you know how to be Meshachar Eved Kenayni? How would you even know what method to use? So the Torah describes the Parshas Kedoshim in the Parsha Shacharufa. The Torah speaks about two different models of freeing an Eved Kenayni or Shichur Kenaynis. One is through Pidyon, and one is through Chufshel Nitan Lah. Chufshel means a chofe, our freedom wasn't given to her. What does Lah mean? Kum Talach Mashtini and says, Lah Lah what? Meisha. Lah Lah refers to, again, Vishtah Shichur. That's the Mach Vishtah Shichur. What does Hafdeilon of Dasa mean? What does Pidyon always mean? Always means? Money means kesef, like pidyon ma'aseh sheni, pidyon hekdesh, etc. So the Torah is presenting two different models for shichur eved kenayni, and most of the Tanaim are thinking that either one works independently. So you can either be meshachar eved kenayni through kesef or through shtar. Through the model of kesef, we have a big problem. What's the big problem? What's the logistical problem? What? He doesn't have any kesef. How's he getting kesef? What's the answer? Somebody else must give the kesef to the yadon. Is there somebody else giving it to the Eved and then the Eved gives it to the Adon? Not so simple. You know why? Because if somebody else gives it to the Eved first, what happens to that Kesef? It may end up the Adon's enemy because Mashikon Eved Kon Rabo. That's a whole nother sugya in the first part of Kedushin. Is it Shaykh to give a gift to an Eved without the Adon ever being Zeichlan? That's another Shaila. But I'm assuming that doesn't exist. So then the Torah says, how can the same Torah Kedusha say, Hafdei Lon of Dos? So at the same time, Mashikon Eved Kon Rabo. So the answer must be that Kinyan Kesef could take place even though what? Even though the Eved didn't shell out a penny. And that's also called the Kinyan Kesef. So Gemara says if that's a Kinyan Kesef for Eved Kenayni, that's a Kinyan Kesef for Kedushin as well. So that Gemara becomes the pivotal sugi. That becomes the issue that's going to set the stage for the direction of our sugi from now. So we're going to have to stop. It's coming in too early today. But Rabbi Isai, I hope to meet him on Sunday. We're going to pick up in that Gemara and see what that Gemara did say, or perhaps what that Gemara didn't say. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, once we get a better understanding of that sugya, better understanding of the Radvaz, we'll be able to come back to that sugya and extract a little bit further. Okay? That's the stuff now. Those who I have to just run. Those who want to daven in Chorol, you guys can daven now if you want. I'm not going to daven after daven later, okay? All right, so we'll stop it now. We'll have to deal with Chumash. Another point. Okay? Okay. Shabbat shalom.